take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, December 16th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could be with us here today as we count down the last few days of 2014. We will be off most of next week, starting Wednesday, Christmas Eve, and won't be back until the first Monday in January. We'll also be debuting a new lineup on 420 Radio. We'll be adding some new shows to the regular rotation, including Planet Green Trees Radio coming out of Michigan, as well as a few others. So make sure you check out our schedule and programs pages at 420radio.org if you'd like to learn more. Also want to thank one of our listeners out there for sending in a donation that I just received today. The timing couldn't be better. Really appreciate that. And anyone else who wants to be a supporter of 420radio.org and the Russ Belville Show, you can do so online through PayPal. The link is available through 420radio.org/donate. You can become a monthly subscriber. That gets you access to the 420 Radio archives as well that include Toker Talk Radio replays. Also, at the higher levels of VIP membership, you get discounts in our 420 Radio shop. We're going to have all sorts of new items in the shop coming up soon, including my poster for 2014 on comprehensive marijuana laws. You want to check that one out. Also, a lot of the PowerPoint presentations are still available, and there will be new ones coming up as I get ready for the 2015 activism travel season that begins in February. We'll be bringing you the High Times Cannabis Cup in the first weekend of February from San Bernardino, and the second weekend of February, we will be in San Francisco for the International Cannabis Business Conference. You can learn more about both of those at cannabiscup.com for the former and internationalcbc.com for the latter. All right, let's talk about today's show because I'm really excited. You know me, I'm a bit of a stats geek. And today, the Monitoring the Future survey came out for 2014, giving us the data on teenage use of drugs and alcohol. This includes 8th, 10th, and 12th graders from around the country. And the survey was taken during the springtime when two or three states were fighting for marijuana legalization. So it gives us a good snapshot of how kids are perceiving the world of marijuana as we continue to legalize it from state to state. We're going to take an extra close look at this Monitoring the Future data. We'll give you a preview in our drug war data mining segment. And then at half past, we're going to do an expanded drug war data mining. And I'm going to get real deep into the data to show you how this Monitoring the Future information pokes a hole in the scare balloon most often used by the prohibitionists. Also on the show today, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at the myth of racially equal marijuana use. It's a regular talking point that we use that blacks and whites use marijuana at the same rates. But is it true? We'll take a look at the data in behind the headlines. Also on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant, kind of taking a look at the fallout from both the end of the federal war on medical marijuana and the declaration that Indian tribes, Native Americans, are allowed to legalize marijuana if they wish. Plus, this Monitoring the Future data shows the steady decline of prohibition in America and how this is affecting those who make their living off of prohibition. All that's coming up right after we begin with the 420 Radio News. Lots of great headlines today to get to. And stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll dig into some more stories and take your calls at 971-533-7111. The news is next in less than 90 seconds. Stick around.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get highly educated. Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. Stony Sundays with Coral Reefer from San Francisco, California, replaying Mondays at 1 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, December 16th, 2014. Senator Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, suggested Tuesday that the Obama administration's support of marijuana legalization has sent children the message it's acceptable to use the drug. Grassley's comments came in response to a National Institutes of Health study showing that a majority of high school seniors don't think occasionally smoking marijuana is harmful. Only 16.4% of respondents said it puts people at risk, down from 27.4% in 2009. Quote, when kids receive the message that marijuana use is acceptable and even welcome, it's no wonder that the perception of harm from marijuana goes down, Grassley said in a statement. By offering pro-marijuana messages, the president and his top appointees are working at cross purposes with the federal government experts who are trying to stop drug use among teenagers. Those of us in the public eye have an obligation to make sure kids understand the dangers of all drug use, including marijuana, end quote, Grassley said. Teen alcohol and drug use, including marijuana use, was down across the board in 2014. That's the big take-home from the 2014 Monitoring the Future study, an annual survey of 40,000 8th graders, 10th graders, and 12th graders by the University of Michigan and the National Institutes on Drug Abuse. It's notable both for its size and for the fact that it was conducted this past spring in the midst of a nationwide conversation about drug reform in the run-up to the midterm elections. Fewer than 15% of 12th graders reported using cigarettes any time in the past month, down from well over 35% in the late 1990s. Monthly alcohol use dropped from nearly 55% of 12th graders in 1992 to less than 40% in 2014. Even marijuana, which has been on a flatter trajectory since the 1990s than the other substances, is down year over year. After 18 months overseeing the medical marijuana dispensary program, Tom Burns was named director of the marijuana programs for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, the agency charged with implementing the new law that regulates the production and sale of cannabis for the recreational market. Stephen Marks, executive director of the Liquor Control Commission, said Burns' experience shaping the medical marijuana dispensary program made him the ideal fit for the job. He'll be charged with shepherding the complex rulemaking process that will guide how marijuana is produced, taxed, and sold in Oregon. And he'll have to do it on a tight timeline. By law, new rules for the industry must be in place by late 2015, and the state must begin accepting applications for growers, processors, and retailers by January 2016. The job comes with a $101,952 annual salary. Marijuana industry insiders applauded Burns' appointment, saying he's approached the job with an open mind. Earlier this year, Peter Thiel caused a stir when he accused Twitter's management of being high on pot. Now, Thiel's Founders Fund is likely participating in a large round of financing in a cannabis startup, Privateer Holdings. Privateer quietly bought up Leafly, which is like Yelp for weed products. In 2013, Privateer launched Lafitte Ventures, which focuses on medical marijuana, and Tilray, which mails medical weed to users and generated nearly $200,000 in revenue last year. Privateer is also exploring a testing facility, Arbormain, in Washington State. Privateer is already generating meaningful revenue, although the company is not profitable. In 2014, it expects to generate nearly $11 million in net revenue, up from $1.2 million in 2013. Most of that revenue, 60 to 70%, is generated by Lafitte Ventures, and the rest is from Leafly. Privateer expects to reach profitability and generate $111 million in 2015 and $440 million in 2016. Tomorrow marks the 100th anniversary of the Harrison Narcotics Act of 1914. Concerned citizens and a coalition of organizations, including representatives from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, will gather in cities nationwide on Wednesday at noon on the steps of courthouses and other civic buildings to call for responsible drug policy reforms. The Harrison Narcotics Act is considered one of the first American prohibitionist policies. While on its face, the law merely regulated opiate and cocaine products in medical settings, a portion of the bill was interpreted to mean that doctors no longer had the authority to prescribe narcotics as a maintenance treatment for drug-addicted patients. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, December 16th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. 420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Welcome back, everyone. 13 after the hour. And today in Behind the Headlines, I want to go into something that I'd like to call the myth of racially equal pot use. And it was inspired by a tweet that I saw from the ACLU of Minnesota. And it read, quote, "Blacks and whites use marijuana at the same rate, but blacks are 11 times more likely to be arrested for possession in Minneapolis," end quote. And this has been a solid talking point for marijuana reformers for a few years now, but is it true? Now, the fact that African Americans are arrested, jailed, and sentenced more for drug crimes, including marijuana, that's not in dispute. That blacks are disproportionately targeted compared to their relative share of drug users in society is also not in doubt. But that first part, do black and white Americans really use marijuana at the same rate? Well, it depends on how you look at it. If we ask Americans, have you ever used marijuana? We find that 44% of all people aged 12 and older have tried it. 44%. But it works out to just under 49% of all non-Hispanic whites and just over 42% of all non-Hispanic African Americans. And these figures are all according to the 2013 National Survey on Drug Use and Health. So by that measure, lifetime use, whites are more likely to have smoked pot by a large margin. But how valid is that lifetime use statistic? I mean, that's going to include the 21-year-old black person who's smoking marijuana right now, along with 68-year-old former President Bill Clinton, who didn't inhale some 40 years ago. And certainly, the 21-year-old black person's more likely to face an arrest than, say, Bill Clinton. And using marijuana in one's younger years is more likely to lead to law enforcement attention. Still, if you break it down by age groups, other than ages 12 to 17, more whites have used marijuana in their lifetime than blacks. But let's concentrate instead on recent users of marijuana, and let's define recent as someone who's used it this year. Among people who answered that they used marijuana in the past year, 14.3% of blacks versus 13% of whites were annual tokers. But if we break it down by age, we find that for teenagers, age 12 to 17, annual marijuana use rates were about equals. It's 13.9% of blacks and 13.3% of whites. But in the college age demographic, age 18 to 25, 35% of whites took compared to 31% of blacks. Then by age 26 to 34, the child rearing age, black use is up to 27%. White use is down to 24%, 24.5%. But then after age 35, whites retake the edge in pot smoking. And there's a similar pattern if you look at current monthly use. Overall, monthly speaking, 9% of blacks and 7.8% of whites used marijuana. At age 12 to 17, it's about equal, 7.4% black, 7.2% white. When you hit the college years, whites overtake blacks, 21.7 to 18.8. In the child-rearing years, blacks overtake whites, 17.9 to 14.3. But after age 35, whites overtake blacks, but are just about statistically dead even. So if you want to boil all the numbers down, you could say that over their lifetimes, whites are more likely to have smoked pot than blacks. Or you could say, judging by annual or monthly use, blacks are more likely to smoke pot than whites. But if you narrow it down by age, college age and middle-aged whites are more likely to smoke pot than child-rearing age blacks. And child-rearing, I'm sorry, the college age and middle-aged whites are more likely to smoke pot, but child-rearing age blacks are more likely to smoke pot. So it just depends on where you look at for ages and where you look at how often someone's smoking pot. But another way to look at it would be to restrict it to just the people who are under age 30. People who are under age 30 make up more than 3 out of 4 marijuana arrests. So if you're just looking at young people under age 30, whites are more likely to have used marijuana in their lifetimes, annually, and monthly. What's also interesting is that black marijuana users are more likely to use only marijuana, while whites are more likely to have also used other illicit drugs. Over their lifetime, over 1/3 of whites aged under 30 have tried a drug other than marijuana, compared to over 1/5 of blacks who tried other drugs. And among current monthly users, whites are over 50% more likely to be using a non-marijuana drug than blacks. 6.4% of whites are using a non-marijuana drug compared to 4.2% of blacks. So if you really want to boil it down, in the most relevant data sets, if you're controlling for the age where people are most likely to interface with law enforcement, whites are far more likely to be using drugs and or just marijuana, either way, in combination or marijuana alone, whites are more likely to be using drugs than blacks in America. So that makes the disproportionate punishment of blacks for marijuana and drugs even more reprehensible. It's bad enough that in Minneapolis, black folks are 11 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana if they're using at the same rates. But as I've shown you, white people are more likely to be using marijuana, especially in the younger age demographics, than black people. So that makes that 11 times even worse, proportionally speaking. We've got to become aware of this sort of disparity and make sure that in our own talking points, we don't give away some of the strength of our argument. To say that whites and blacks use marijuana at the same rates actually shortchanges how badly the black people are being treated.
Well, what the hell are we supposed to do, you moron?
Just get it right. Just get it right, Stork. While white people use marijuana at greater rates than black people are arrested more for it. It's easy enough to put out. No need to maintain this illusion that us white folks aren't smoking more, because generally speaking, we are. We're back with the Drug War Data Mine after these messages.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. 420radio.org is proud to replay Weegicated Talk Radio with Ruby Lexington, Nikki Fox, Steve the Caregiver, and Jeff Kaufman from Arizona. Weegicated exists to help change the cultural response to cannabis through intelligent, meaningful conversations about how the industry is unfolding in America and beyond. Catch the replay Mondays at 10 Pacific on 420radio.org. Hey Tokers and Tokettes, Radical Russ here for the Canador, a practical solution to keep herbs from drying. The Canador is the perfect airtight storage system for your fine herbs. From the half-inch thick walnut and cherry wood construction, clear-top perforated jars for storage, and the humidity bead system that keeps your herbs at a perfect 65% relative humidity. I keep all my herbs in the Canador, and you should too. Check out Canador.com for more information. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. Almost 23 after the hour, and today the big news story is the release of the Monitoring the Future data, the study from the University of Michigan that spoke to over 40,000 8th, 10th, and 12th grade students, surveying them on their drug and alcohol use. As the Washington Post Wonk blog frames it, teen marijuana use falls as more states legalize. We'll take a deeper look into these statistics here and in the next segment, but now here's a video from the University of Michigan explaining some of the most pertinent findings.
The study began in 1975, so we're now covering 40 years of drug use among American young people. There's been a lot of change in that time. The proportion of kids who are drinking, and more importantly, who are binge drinking, that is having five or more drinks in a row, both of those have seen declining proportions over quite a long time. So we're now at the lowest levels of drinking and binge drinking that we've seen in the history of the study.
We're constantly trying to find what are the new drugs that are emerging. In Monitoring the Future, we show for the first time in a national study that e-cigarette use has actually surpassed regular cigarette use. Among 8th and 10th graders, e-cigarette use is more than twice as common as regular cigarette use. There's been a long-term decline in regular cigarette use. It's declined substantially. Cigarette smoking prevalence today is at near historic lows. An e-cigarette is a battery-powered device. The user puts in a chemical substance, which includes nicotine, and that nicotine substance is turned into a vapor, which the user then inhales into his or her lungs. Part of the reason that e-cigarettes are so popular among youth is that they have a very low perceived health risk. The public health community is very concerned about e-cigarette use, particularly among youth, because for many youth, it is their initiation into nicotine use, which is an addictive drug.
We've seen for the last 5 or 6 years an increase in marijuana use among teens. This year, that leveled off, and in fact, there was a little lowering of the rates. And we're not exactly sure why, given all the attention marijuana is now receiving. About the only thing that went up, really, was the e-cigarettes this year. An unusual year in that respect. Usually there's more things going up and going down, but this year mostly it's either steady or decline.
That's from the University of Michigan, and they're monitoring the future survey results. And while the experts there might be confounded as to why binge drinking and marijuana use and all these other drug measures are going down, I have a very simple explanation for it, and that is that teenagers have much better and more truthful information about drugs than they ever have. We've got a generation of kids now who don't even know what it's like to not have the internet, who have instant information and debunking information at that available at their fingertips. And that is what has given us some of these results. The Washington Post posted this great interactive graph that shows you X scale on the bottom runs from 1992 on the far left to 2014 on the far right. And the blue line, bottom line, is for your 8th graders, middle line is 10th graders, top line is your high school seniors, 12th graders. These are the decline lines for alcohol, a legal drug that has declined from over half of 12th graders using it to under 40% of 12th graders using it. If we switch that graph to cigarettes, we see another precipitous decline in the use of cigarettes among the youth, all the way down below 5% in the case of 8th graders and reaching close to 15% among the 12th graders, from highs that were over a third when we talked about high school seniors. We also see declines for any drugs whatsoever, although they've been up and down, they're still lower than what they were in the late 90s. And when it comes to just marijuana, we see a similar trend where in the late 90s, it was a high level that declined around to 2007, has risen recently, but as of the past year has declined. Other drugs don't really show up very much in the data. They're pretty low on the chart level there. But in most respects, aside from amphetamines, which seem to have risen, most other drugs have fallen when it comes to the 2014 edition of the Monitoring the Future survey from the University of Michigan. We've got more on this when we come back.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about 7 people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. Half past the hour, time for an expanded edition of Drug War Data Mining, taking a look at the 2014 Monitoring the Future survey results from the University of Michigan. Talked to over 40,000 8th, 10th, and 12th graders during the spring of 2014 as two states were firing up their marijuana legalization initiatives, and the entire national conversation had been dominated by marijuana law reform. These are the views of the kids as surveyed by our federal government. And we have some tables to take a look at here today. And these are all available through monitoringthefuture.org. You'll have to click through a few links to get it, but you will find these data tables. We're starting with table 14, which gives us a look ranging from 1991 to 2014 on the lifetime use of various drugs by all of the students surveyed. So we're not breaking it down by 8th, 10th, and 12th. This was all the kids surveyed. And our top lines give us any illicit drug other than marijuana, any illicit drug including inhalants, marijuana, inhalants, hallucinogens, cocaine, and so forth. And what we find as we look across this, you'll also see that a bold-faced number represents the peak for that number, and an underlined number represents the low. And that's in the range of 1991 to 2014. So keep in mind that our marijuana line is the fourth line. It's the white line up there. And as we go across, we'll see that in 1997, 37.8% of all students from 8th, 10th, and 12th grade, 37.8% had tried marijuana in their lifetime. So it's also, I think, important to note that 1997 was the year medical marijuana began in California. So at the beginning of the medical marijuana era, you could say, we find the greatest amount of marijuana use among the students, 37.8%. Now, as we go through the years and more states get medical marijuana into 2000, into the early 2000s, we see that number declining and a steady decline down to its low, its all-time low, of 27.9%. We hit that in 2007. From 2007 on, we will see that number increase, and I have to re-scroll that because it gets a little funky sometimes. Sorry, folks. Oh, I hate it when it does this. Okay, there we go. All right. So again, fourth line here. We see that number had declined. It's not going to work. I'm so sorry about that. Here we go. Just scroll over to it. And now by 2014, we find ourselves at 30.5%. But that's a decline from 32% the year prior. The numbers have been variable since about 2007. This most recent number declining may not be significant, but it is interesting to note that over the past 2 years, we haven't seen much change in the lifetime use of marijuana among the teenagers, despite the fact that we legalize marijuana now in four states. We can also take a look at the annual use in a similar chart that lets us know that, again, the peak was in 1997, where 30% of the kids had mentioned that they had used marijuana in that previous year. Also, we find the lowest number hitting 21.4% in 2007, and once again, it doesn't want to let me show you the current numbers without doing some more solid scrolling. There we go. So 2014, we get down to 24.2%. Again, a decline of about 1.6 points from the previous year. Looking from the beginning of the medical marijuana era, then, the annual use rate among kids has declined almost 20%. The proportional change is almost 20% from 1997 to what we have today. Looking at the kids that use more often, this would be the monthly use lines. They switched up the color codes on us, so the marijuana line is still a fourth line, but it's the blue highlighted line. And again, when we're talking about scrolling around, I better do it in a different way because I don't get the results I want. All right, here we go. So marijuana on our blue line, 17.9%. For 1997, again, the modern peak when medical marijuana began, 2007, 12.4%, the modern low, and currently sitting at 14.4%. Meaning, since the beginning of the medical marijuana era, another 19.6% decline in the youth use of marijuana on a monthly basis. And now we have a chart of even the daily usage rates. And with daily usage rates, marijuana takes up our top line. Once again, slightly different here. The highest use rate we found for daily marijuana use was 3.7% in 2001. The lowest use rate, again in 2007, at 2.7%. Currently, 3.3% of the 8th, 10th, and 12th graders surveyed are using marijuana on a daily basis. An absolute or a proportional change of about 10% since the beginning of the medical marijuana era. Now, one of the common talking points of the prohibitionists has to do with what they call perception of harm. We heard it from Senator Charles Grassley that somehow the administration allowing marijuana legalization to move forward is going to lead the kids to think that marijuana is no big deal and that therefore they will use more of it. But as we've seen, the numbers have declined steadily since the beginning of the medical marijuana era. So as we've had more reforms, as we've had more liberal marijuana laws, fewer kids are using, and they're using less often. So does that mean that their perception of risk has declined or has increased or decreased? Well, the question has been asked since 1991, and this is for the eighth graders. And do they find it harmful if someone tries marijuana once or twice, if someone smokes marijuana occasionally, or if someone smokes marijuana regularly? And again, the peak in most of those numbers, we're going to find, oh, they don't have this one underlined, excuse me. But again, 1997 is about the peak, the beginning of the medical marijuana era. So 25, 43, and 72, as far as kids thinking marijuana was harmful, depending on how often it's used. And this is eighth graders. We are down now to 23, 36, and 58. So eighth graders find it much less harmful if people use marijuana. And you'll see a similar trend if we look at the 10th graders, ranging from about 65%, 66% who thought regular use was harmful, down now to just 45% who think regular use is harmful. And among high school seniors, a similar trend. And this question has been asked for a longer time, since 1975. Those who would think regular use is harmful peaked around 1991 at 78.6%, greatest harm. That was the most high school seniors ever thought that regular marijuana use was harmful. If we move forward to the 2014 high school seniors that think marijuana use, regular use is harmful, is down to 36.1%. So in all grade levels, kids find the regular use of marijuana far less harmful, and yet they're smoking less of it. Completely contrary to what the prohibitionists always tell us, which is that if we legalize, it'll send the message that pot's okay and more kids will smoke it. Well, legalization has apparently sent the message that pot is not to be feared, and fewer kids are smoking it. We also have the trends in disapproval table, which tells us, do you think it's bad? Just do you socially disapprove of that action? Which is a number that hovered in the 90% for regular use among eighth graders, down to 80% among today's eighth graders. For the 10th graders, a similar decline from the 90% disapproval down to a 74.6% disapproval today. And among the high school seniors, from an 80% disapproval down to a 73% disapproval today. So more kids disapprove of the use of marijuana, or fewer kids are disapproving of the use of marijuana, and yet fewer kids are using marijuana. So among their peers, there's more acceptance of marijuana use. And among their peers, there's more acceptance of marijuana use. There's less perception that it's harmful to use marijuana, and yet fewer kids are using marijuana. Now, another interesting statistic that we get from the Monitoring the Future study is how available kids think marijuana is. Another argument that we get from prohibitionists is by legalizing marijuana, there's going to be more access for kids. As we look at these eighth grade numbers for marijuana, top line, we find how these are the kids that say it's easy to get marijuana, easy or fairly easy. A number that topped out around 1996, 54.8% of eighth graders, more than half of eighth graders, said it would be easy to get marijuana. Today, in 2014, we're down to a shade over a third of them. From over half to just over a third, 36.9% of eighth graders say marijuana would be easier to get. Despite the fact that 23 states have legalized medical use in that time, and now four states have legalized recreational use, eighth graders are finding it harder to get a hold of marijuana. If we look at the 10th graders, a similar sort of demographic, a number that ranged as high as the 80%, 81% back in 1996, a number that is down to 66.9%, from over 4 out of 5 to just under 2 out of 3. 10th graders say it would be easy to get marijuana. It's harder for 10th graders to get marijuana now. And among high school seniors, the oldest demographic who might even have older friends that can help get it for them, we find marijuana easy to get was over 90% in the late 90s, a number that has declined to just over 80% now. Even high school seniors are finding it harder to get a hold of marijuana, despite medical marijuana and recreational marijuana legalization and the overall discussion for marijuana reform and all the messages being sent by the federal government not going after the recreational states. Fewer kids use, despite less perception of harm, despite more acceptance, and they're finding it harder to get a hold of marijuana. Legalization works. All right, we're going to take a break. I hope you enjoyed that. Again, that's all available at monitoringthefuture.org. You can find those tables. Tomorrow, we'll take some of this data and show you in the Drug War Data Mines how to spin it in Excel and make it look pretty. But stay tuned. Coming up next, we got the anti-drug public service announcement of the day, followed by the radical rant on the steady death of marijuana prohibition. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
You know, I've been playing rock and roll for a lot of years. I've done it all. Now I do it without drugs. Hey, don't get me wrong, I still party with the best of them, but now I do it clean. You know, I'm on top of everything I do.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
The truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
The sensory to have blurred the meaning of the words, we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 46 after the hour, and today I just want to celebrate the steady decline of marijuana prohibition, and more importantly, the steady decline of marijuana prohibition's talking points. There's just not too many that they can go to anymore. These latest numbers coming out of the Monitoring the Future study are the worst nightmare, just as bad as it could have possibly turned out. For Kevin Sabet and the rest of the Project Sam acolytes out there, desperately trying to maintain some sort of criminal punishment for marijuana users. For a long time, they've been chanting about how legalization will be its own worst enemy, how legalization will unfold in Colorado and Washington and now Oregon and Alaska, and the consequences will be so devastating that the rest of America will wake up to this experiment gone awry and reject marijuana legalization on a national scale and maybe even roll it back or repeal it in the places where it's already been tried. Well, that little fantasy is being shot to hell today by this pesky little thing called data. And the Monitoring the Future study today, you know, one of the big talking points they've always had in prohibition is, what about the children? Oh my God, what about the children? You know, that we, it's okay if some adult wants to ruin their life by smoking pot, but by God, won't you think of the children? And the tacit assumption being that legalization of marijuana is going to make kids want to use marijuana more and give them more access to marijuana and make them think marijuana is no big deal. And what they're finding out, and what the numbers that I've covered in today's show tell you, is what kids are finding out about marijuana is the truth. And that is, as drugs go, marijuana is no big deal. And I mean that both from a public health standpoint of, you know, it's not really going to hurt much, and also from the user experience side of it. Marijuana is no big deal. If you're a thrill-seeking kid, marijuana's kind of boring. Makes you kind of relaxed and sleepy in some cases, right? It's not exactly, you know, the extreme, right, that kids are looking for. Sure, some are, many are, a lot are. It's a very popular drug, look, don't get me wrong. And this is by no means an enticement for kids to want to try harder drugs, crazier drugs. That's not what I mean by this at all. What I mean by this, though, is that prohibition of marijuana has given marijuana for teens a much greater allure than it naturally has for teens. And I don't discount that a lot of teens, you know, are in a bad circumstance. I mean, just being a teenager sucks. You're in the midst of hormonal changes and physical changes and your brain's still developing and you're in the probably the worst part of the socialization that humans ever have to go through. The cruelties of high school and how those cliques can form and how people can be brutal. And then on top of that, maybe you're in a bad home situation or something. I can understand why some kids might want to smoke pot. But what I'm getting at here is that as a drug goes, the allure of marijuana was significantly increased through its prohibition. Without its prohibition, marijuana is just this flower that grows. Some people dry it and they eat it or smoke it or vaporize it, and well, it makes them feel a little good and enhances sensory perceptions a bit. Maybe makes you want to take a nap. But with prohibition, it was the illegal, demon, dangerous drug that's going to lead to heroin. It's the gateway. It's so addictive. It's so powerful. It'll change and rewire your brain circuitry and turn it into a fried egg. And man, that sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? I mean, if you're a reckless teenager looking for cheap thrills, the prohibition of marijuana gave it a much greater allure than it would have had by itself. Oh, some flower my grandpa smokes that he used to smoke in Vietnam? I don't want that. And that's what I think these numbers are telling us, is that kids, given the reality of marijuana, it's kind of mundane. So there's that. And then some of the ways they're trying to find a little nugget, they're just trying to find something to hang their hat on in these numbers. And I've been scouring their Twitter accounts and Facebooks and some of the news stories about this. And I found a couple. First of all, we got our friend Scott Gagnon. You know, I mean, he's out in Maine. He's with Project Sam in Maine, who is probably thrilled that he won our little bet. You know, I bet him that both the towns in Maine would pass legalization. And he was right. Lewiston did not pass legalization, so I have to give that to him. He was right. And Scott Gagnon is looking to the edibles stats. He points out, and I think he got this number from Kevin Sabet, that within these monitoring the future numbers, or maybe it's the NIH numbers, but within these most recent stats, 40% of kids in medical marijuana states that used marijuana, of the kids that used marijuana, 40% of them in the medical marijuana states used edibles, versus 26% in the non-medical marijuana states that used edibles. And that's supposed to be a problem. That's supposed to be bad. And I'm confused because these guys are always hammering away at how awful smoked marijuana is. Well, marijuana doesn't need to be smoked. We don't smoke opium. And always excoriating the smoking aspect of marijuana. And so here we have edibles that reduces any of the harm that you would have had from smoking. And we're supposed to be terrified of that. Another one that they're trying to hang their hats on, Kevin Sabet. This is one that he's been using. And I saw this in one of his presentations when he was here in Oregon. Is that when you look at the sources for kids getting their marijuana, 30% of the kids in medical marijuana states got their pot via someone's medical marijuana card, either their own or more likely like another adult's card or some friend's card. But from a medical marijuana card, they were able to get a hold of pot, versus 8% of the kids in the non-medical marijuana states that got their pot via a medical marijuana card. And that's supposed to be somehow a scary statistic. But when you know more of that stat, he's framing it a little better now. But when he first debuted this stat, the way he debuted it is, what were the top sources for a kid getting marijuana? And the total could be more than 100%, because a kid could name more than one source that he got his pot, right? But the number one source in both medical and non-medical states where a kid gets his pot is from a friend. And the number two source is a gift from a friend, I should say, free from a friend, you know, smoking in a circle, right? So that's the number one source for kids in both medical and non-medical states. Number two source, bought it from a friend in medical and non-medical states. Number three source in the medical states, a dispensary from somebody's card. It came from medical marijuana somehow. Number three source in the non-medical states, a criminal, the criminal black market. So he doesn't frame it like that anymore, because I pointed out in LeGrand, Kevin, doesn't your chart there tell us that between the medical and non-medical states, the only difference is that in the medical states, fewer kids get their weed from criminals? I kind of stuck that little talking point. But so now he's trying to reframe it. 30% of kids in medical states got pot via someone's card versus 8% in non-medical states. All that tells us is kids in non-medical states don't have anyone's card to get weed through. And so they're getting it from, that's right, the black market. Some other signs that the end of prohibition is approaching even more rapidly than you might think. One of the things that is always frustrating to me is how we've legalized marijuana for medical use here in Oregon since 1998, and now we've just legalized recreational use. But for both, there's this prohibition on public display. The public can't see a marijuana plant growing. And for God's sake, they can't see you possessing it. They can't see you holding a bag of marijuana, or even worse, using it. And I've always thought, how stupid is that? And what's beautiful is that the new head of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission's marijuana division, Tom Burns, asked that same question. He said, quote, "If it's going to be legal, let's stop hiding it behind walls and doors," end quote. And here's a guy, he didn't know hardly anything about marijuana. He's a wine guy who's been touring dispensaries and talking to cannabis business owners and trying to understand what's going on here, and realizes that what's going on behind the frosted glass doors and the buzz through locked walls in these pot dispensaries is far, far classier thing that's going on than in a liquor store or your typical tobacco stand. And I'm not demeaning them so much. You know, they're just retail businesses. You know, that's no problem. But what I'm saying is you go into a pot shop and, man, it's nice counters and displays and, you know, everything's wonderful in these places. So even the regulators now are starting to question, why does this need to be kept hidden? If it's legal, why should we keep it hidden? And part of his point, part of Tom Burns' point, was that we'd have more open and honest discussions about it if we weren't hiding it all the time. And that's a regulator talking here. I think we're in good shape as we move forward. I think the end of prohibition is near, because I think the traditional opponents of it in the Republican Party are stuck. They're stuck right now. They can't come out too strongly against marijuana legalization or medical marijuana. They don't want to have that rift open up between their social conservatives, who think drugs are bad and we need to come down hard on the druggies, the leftovers from the Nixon era, and the newer, younger Republicans, the Rand Paul types, who are very libertarian-minded with respect to states' rights in a federal system to be able to set their own marijuana policies. Even Kansas Senator Pat Roberts, who is older than dirt. It's been certified. It's been carbon dated. Pat Roberts even thinks that we shouldn't bug the other states if they want to try to legalize. He doesn't think it's cool for Kansas, but the other states should be free to try it. The Idaho Senate that voted 29-5 that marijuana shall always and forever in perpetuity be illegal for any and all purposes in the state of Idaho voted down a resolution that said the federal government should start kicking ass in Colorado and Washington. And again, it was that Idaho libertarian streak amongst their GOP that was saying, hey, we don't want to tell other states what their own business is. The legalization of marijuana is coming quickly. Two states in 2012 were up to four in 2014. We will be up to eight in 2016. California, Arizona, Nevada, Maine, Massachusetts. If we don't get four out of five of those, I'll be shocked. I will be shocked if we get five out of five. Hey, that's all the time we got for hour one. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We'll shoot the breeze on a few other stories out there. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.